Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, Washington's most refreshing beer.
John Gruden said, quote, "Won't get into the exact nature," end quote, of Antonio Brown's feet. If only you could have been able to foresee that perhaps the acquisition of a guy who had, I don't know, pitched a fit until he got traded out of Pittsburgh might be a little bit of a volatile element to add to a franchise. But there were no warning signs, Dave, at all, no warning signs at all that this might have been what was coming.
Yeah, are you talking about, I'm sorry, we're trying to get Professor in here. You're talking about Antonio Brown?
Yes, and his feet.
Yeah, that's so weird. I mean, how do you not take care of things like that? So I thought it was interesting. Hey, did you guys see our boy Luke Wilson kind of chewing out a rookie?
Yeah,
he was.
Yeah, the kid, I'm trying to remember his name. I'm sure the professor knows his name. Hi, John.
Hello, how are you?
Abrams, the safety.
Yeah, Jonathan Abrams.
Yeah.
First round pick.
He was running around hitting people with no pads on, and Luke scolded him. Luke Wilson scolded him.
Way to go, Luke.
Yeah.
What did Luke say to him? What were the exact, was it like, hey,
go to the moon?
He was like, hey, Rook, okay, we'll see what happens when the pads come on. So, yeah.
Kind of like that.
He was kind of giving him the big-time veteran move. So
I think the best response that I've seen from that came from Steve Hutchinson. And the Seahawks were practicing in that old bubble out in Kirkland.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaiah Kazavinsky, who was never known for his restraint on the practice field, ended up knocking Sean Alexander down on the sidelines and almost into the bubble. But it was like that. And as they're leaving practice, you hear Hutchinson just looks at him. He goes, I think it's totally awesome when guys who can't even start are trying to knock potential MVPs out in practice. It was. I thought it was a well-timed and sarcastic.
I thought for sure Steve Hutchinson would say something intimidating because that was one of the scarier-looking human beings.
Yeah.
He was full, what was he, like 320?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that guy was intimidating.
Hoping this year he gets into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
That's right.
John, what do you make of the whole situation with Antonio Brown?
It's a mess. I mean, here's a guy that, his work ethic is unreproachable. He's one of the hardest working guys in all of sports. But when you have, and the money he puts out, it's not maybe as much as James Harrison, you know, who put out like about, what, $500,000, $600,000 a year for trainers and medicine and, vitamins and things like that. But, I mean, he has trainers, nutritionalists, social media people, and it's like, I guess now he has to hire a new sock person because he had wet socks, I guess, that end up, you know, getting him the alleged frostbite in the cryo chamber. And it's like, how do you do that? I know that some of those things that what happens, I guess they have a little malfunction in there and you get a little bit of extra stuff that you shouldn't get on your body. But it's like, how do you do that? And who knows how long it's going to take? I mean, he hasn't been able to do anything yet. I mean, he was able to take part in one pre-practice and he couldn't cut. And so here they pay over $17 million a year. They trade a third-round pick. He's the key to their season because now they've made a big upgrade at wide receiver, and he's got blisters all over his feet.
Is there a timetable on his
day-to-day
when he's going to be 100%? It's just so all the things at stake.
Yeah.
All the things that you just mentioned. Derek Carr, how do you think he feels about it? You know, not able to.
Not as painful as Antonio Brown, but.
But yeah, I mean, doesn't get the timing
right
with him and everything, and all those things at stake, and you make a ridiculously stupid decision like that.
And then, of course, I mean, here you are. You know you have the bad feet, right? And so you make a spectacle by coming in on an air balloon. It's like, so you come in on an air balloon, you can't pass the physical, and then you have the gall to put out, which I'm glad he did because now we know how bad it is. He tweets out how bad the feet are because he shows the bottom of the feet, you know, and it looks like just a massive blister. And how do you put your body on top of that?
Yeah, I'm just looking at something. SummitMedicalGroup.com, it says you may not know the full extent of damage to frostbitten areas for about 6 weeks. So, John, this might be something that lingers all year.
Could be. Can you imagine? It's like, okay, what does a receiver do? He runs on his feet, and that's what he does to try to get open. And so now, I mean, whatever he's going to do, I mean, when does that heal up? I don't know when it does.
All right. David Chow, who you know pretty well, John. Used to be the Chargers doc. This is what he said. My hunch is that Antonio Brown has often used cryotherapy before without booties, but the macerated moist skin on foot led to conduction where the water froze like touching an ice-cold flagpole.
Ooh.
where it has little consequence if you're dry, but licking it is an entirely different story. So his feet were just like the Christmas story where he gets stuck. I tell you, stuck.
Flick.
Flick. Oh, flick. You're right. It was flick.
Yeah.
All right, John.
Triple dog dare.
Triple dog dare. John, Robert Quinn gets suspended. Now, I'm confused, though, because the PED suspension is usually four games, and he got suspended two games, which means that there must not be something that's very straightforward about this whole thing.
No, what it is that it was you get two extra games for a masking agent. And I guess, you know, he's had some problems with seizures and stuff like that, so he takes different medications. And now he, whatever, again, it's in your system, you pay the, you have to have the suspension. Now, he's appealing it, obviously. He's disappointed about it. His agent put a big, long letter out, you know, saying this, 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 and this. But what it came down to is that he tested positive on April 2nd for a masking agent. You go back to Patrick Peterson. Now, remember, Patrick Peterson got the four-game PED suspension, but it turned into six because there was also a masking agent involved. And so the fact that the masking agent is there, he gets the two-game suspension. And, of course, he's also coming back after having surgery on a broken wrist, broken hand. And so, I mean, that's a mess. And, I mean, you look at the Cowboys. I mean, I think the Cowboys have had now five or six consecutive years where they've had somebody suspended for something, you know, whether it's PED, whether it's substance, you name it. I mean, but now, I mean, he gets the two games, and they're still waiting to get Byron Jones back off the PUP, DeMarcus Lawrence off the PUP, Ezekiel Elliott's holding out. I mean, they've got a lot of issues.
Let me understand this. He didn't test positive for a performance-enhancing drug, so he doesn't get the four games. He just tested positive for the masking agent.
For the masking agent,
which
yes.
is two games.
Which is two.
That's a dumb way to get suspended.
No kidding.
Well, I guess it masked up nothing.
Yeah,
so it's
seriously.
Like, oh, what were we masking here? Oh, nothing, really. But because you got the, you know, you had that positive test, he has to pay the two.
John, who are you excited the most about tonight? Who is one player that you really are excited to see tonight?
I mean, I'd give you two because I just want to see Rasheem Green and I want to see what's going on with Jacob Martin. I mean, those are the two guys that really from first year to second year, they got to take a step up and they need to start a little bit more today. Now, am I correct in saying there's only been two padded practices? Because I know that we saw
the scrimmage.
There's a scrimmage and there was one more.
Yeah.
Because remember, it was supposed to be on that Monday. After the Saturday off or Sunday off, and so it's like so we haven't had the opportunity to really see much in the pass rush because unless you have the ability to put the pads on and make the hits and make the contacts, that's where you see who's in and who's out. But right now we haven't seen it, so I'm looking forward to see them because I mean we can talk about and rightfully so Marquise Blair. We can talk about the receivers, but the key to this season right now is where's the pass rush. And so you want to see some signs that that's going to be at least some guys can step up. You know, Barkevious Mingo, I want to see how he does. And so, you know, we already know there's going to be a lot of starters not out there, but we need to see, you know, who in that pass rush area can do some things.
John, what about the backup quarterback battle between Geno Smith and Paxton Lynch? It sounds like Lynch has a lot of ground to cover to make up here, but we'll see how he does tonight, I guess.
Yeah, but what I'm wondering about is what is going on with Geno Smith's knee? Because, I mean, Pete was pretty cryptic about it. Now, Geno's going to start, probably go out a couple series and all that stuff, but I don't know what it is with that left knee. And so because of that, I mean, you're going to see a lot of Paxton Lynch and not a lot of Geno Smith, but then I guess he's going to get a reevaluation on Friday of where he is with that knee. And so I guess from the Seahawks standpoint, they need a good performance from Paxton Lynch tonight. Now, you know, he's going to be extra motivated going against a team that let him go. I had to tell him that, you know, he's working, or at least he worked in practice with two starters that came over in that trade because he didn't realize that the trade was with Seattle, or he didn't remember, and didn't realize Seattle got Nick Vinette and Jermaine Ifedi out of that. And so he was kind of intrigued by that when I talked to him the other day. But, no, I think, you know, Paxton needs a good performance.
John, here's Pete Carroll. He's talking about Geno Smith, who's going to start tonight's game, about what's going on with him.
He's got an issue that we're dealing with that we're going to attend to after the game. He's going to play in the game. He's going to start the game and get a chance to play some good football for us. But we're going to fix him up after that.
What do you think he's talking about, John?
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like it's interesting because, again, this is a couple of days where the injuries are really starting to mount up. I mean, you know, we talked about Vita Vea. You know, he had one look at his knee, and there's some fluid in there. And so, you know, tomorrow he's going to get another MRI to see where that's going. I mean, you know, in the last 48 hours, there's four major injuries for the San Francisco 49ers. And the Geno thing, I guess, you know, go out there, help us out. There's only three quarterbacks on the roster, and one's not playing, and that's Russell Wilson. So we need you to do a little bit so we don't have to put Russell out there. And so that means that, you know, you've got to have a lot out of Paxton.
Doesn't it sound like maybe it's the cryogenic – I'm sorry, what is it?
Or cryotherapy.
Platelet. No, the platelet thing.
Yeah,
the platelet PRP.
Thing. Yeah. PRP.
Maybe something like that.
It could be,
maybe make him feel a little bit better.
Yeah, because that's a two-week thing. I mean, Bobby Wagner will be back in 2 weeks after his, and if that's going to be the case, then, you know, Geno will be out for 2 weeks. But, you know, who knows? I don't think he has a history of any kind of knee problems that I remember.
Yeah, hey, in a pinch, we could see Keenan Reynolds out there. That'd be fun.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't played quarterback in a while. Hey, interesting what Pete said yesterday, John, that they're going to try to leave their base package out on the field.
Yeah.
In more situations. And, you know, I think everybody's talked about, you know, scheme changes and things like that. But really, that would be the way that you get those guys, those linebackers out there on the field. Is mm-hmm. because you think that Michael Kendricks can match up with receivers.
Right, right.
Yeah, so it's interesting that that leads me to believe that they think that Kendricks is not going to serve any time, or it just seems like that the way Pete talked about mm-hmm, him, mm-hmm. that he's planning on him this year.
Well, and then
would you agree?
Yeah, because, I mean, and you heard it, and of course, you kind of wonder, like, geez, where's Barkevious Mingo in this mix? When Pete came out in the OTAs in the minicamp and says, with Kendricks and KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner, this may be the best linebacking core he's had here in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, so where's Mingo? And of course, we've seen where Mingo is. He's been playing defensive end and no linebacker. So we've kind of watched that whole transition. But, you know, in the end, I think that, you know, this is a very good linebacking core. We find out now that that day that he missed practice was basically getting some things set up for his September 25th hearing, which will be determining where if he's going to go to jail or not. But I get the feeling he probably won't.
That's exactly right, because it's not that big a deal what happened.
It's not that big of a deal?
No, it's not.
Insider trading?
Yeah,
no,
thank you, John.
It's not. Not that big a deal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
if he avoids jail time, he's going to be lucky.
Well, maybe luck. You know, or just
I
be...
wouldn't doubt the luck. I mean, I think he has the luck, but right now, we'll see.
Yeah, this is – it'll be – I'm so curious to see what this defense is going to look like. Not so much tonight, but when it starts week one and what they're going to be able to do. Dave was saying, though, Puna Ford's not going to play tonight, and that's really a testament to how highly entrenched he is on that depth chart. You're mm-hmm. probably looking at your week one starter at nose guard with Puna, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because I think that, I mean, the guys that are sitting out today, and again, they're going to be dressed, and so they're needed to have to come in the game, but Puna now has put himself in a position for game one where he is not going, I mean, you can see that he's being considered a starter. And I think that it's kind of interesting that Jaren Brown is going to be, I think, in the same situation, because I don't think you're going to see him, but they want to see a lot of David Moore for two things. They want to see him in the passing offense, and they also want to see him in the return game.
Well, that's interesting. So if you're going to have Jaren Brown sitting out, I would yeah. imagine that that's a pretty strong sign that his roster yeah. spot really isn't up for debate. Like, he's going to be on this team.
That's the feeling I get. I yeah. mean, you hear, like, from Schottenheimer how much he loves him. About yesterday when Schottenheimer talked about how much he loves Joey Hunt.
Yeah.
You know, and I said this, John, I'm not cutting Joey Hunt this year. Every year I try to formulate my roster, and
right.
always Joey Hunt ends up being the last guy outside looking in. But, man, I feel like this guy is never going away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty interesting.
Are we surprised that C.J. Procise is not going to play?
Yeah, mm. we are not, John.
No, we are not. No. I mean, what he's only been able to take what one third of the games that he's been around.
Yeah,
one third.
You think
it is?
this could be it?
You'd have to think so.
Yeah,
Pete likes him though.
Yeah,
Pete really likes him.
It seems like he's given him enough chances. That's for sure.
Hey, John, you think we'll see a 63-yard field goal from Jason Myers tonight?
No, I don't think so. I think you might see a good one, though, because, I mean, all I know is sitting there the other day with Mora, and, like, we were ready to get, like, killed because he was kicking right at us and actually kicked over us. I mean, that one kick that would have been 60 or 65 yards from any other place, you know, just basically sailed to the window and, you know, bounced off the wall. And it's like, wow. I mean, you know, we knew he was accurate because I saw it last year. We saw it last year when he was kicking in practice. I didn't see him miss one at all. I know he missed some, but then now he goes to the Jets, he goes to the Pro Bowl, and it looks like he's kind of worked on his leg a little bit more to get a little bit more power.
Do you think there's a chance, John, that at the end of the season we're going to look back and say that he was the best acquisition of all, including all the draft choices, getting Jason Myers?
Could be, yeah, because, I mean, if he would win the three games that Blair Walsh lost, then that would be huge, because then that would be, you know, getting that margin of difference a little bit better.
He's looked great so far in training camp. I mean, he really has. And
yeah, he has.
I know it's kind of one of those things where I'm like, yeah, but it still doesn't matter, because it all, what counts is what happens when the regular season started. But he's looked really good.
Well, and, do you think kickers are like relievers?
That it varies a lot year to year?
I do.
Do you?
How do you explain that, man? When we went to Jacksonville in 2017, he had just gotten cut from their roster and didn't get a job the rest of the year. And I remember one of the things about him, he's a deep kickoff guy. Like, he's got a strong leg. He's got lots of touchbacks. And so that's another benefit you're going to get from him. But he gets cut by Jacksonville in favor of, I don't even remember who the kicker is they kept down there. And then, you know, he's out on the street until the next year. And then he shows up. And, I mean, look, Sebastian Janikowski beat him out.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, how do you go from that and then seeing the performance you got from Janikowski to getting picked up by the Jets and you're a Pro Bowler? It's just, it's unbelievable.
Well, and think about it. It's a Pro Bowler on a bad Jet team. I mean, if you're going to be out there, you're on the Jets, nobody's going to notice you because, again, you're not going to get the night games. You're not going to get the big games. I mean, you're pretty much a 1 o'clock Sunday time unless you go on the West Coast. And so because of that, it's like, you know, you didn't get a chance. But, I mean, he just rose quickly and got into the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, this is unprecedented for me. I did look up stats on kickers.
Are you serious?
Today.
Oh,
yes,
really?
I did. 2016, Jason Myers, 7 for 12, 50-plus yard kicks. And then last year, 6 for 7 and a Pro Bowl appearance. So, and he had his highest, I think it was around 93% as far as 92% that got him into the Pro Bowl. So it's just, that's why I would say that, yeah, they are like closers.
Do you feel dirty having looked up stats on kickers, Dave?
I'm not proud of it, Danny.
Yeah.
But the weird part is he actually has it not just written. I mean, he actually has it typed. How did you do that with borders?
No, it's written right there.
Oh, it's written right there?
Yeah,
okay.
All right.
This is pretty impressive. John, we had a trade today. This is the one time of year where trades do start to happen, where you see guys giving up for usually picks that are on the final day of the draft, but Duke Johnson, who didn't want to be in Cleveland, is going to be with the Texans. And what, it was a fourth-round pick, I understand?
It's a fourth-round pick, and it's even better because if he's on the active roster for 10 games, doesn't matter if he plays, he's on the active roster for 10 games, it upgrades to a 3. And this shows you why you don't want to have a head coach making personnel decisions. Because you think about this. He gets mad at Devontae Foreman, you know, the running back who was a 2017 draft choice, third-round pick, I think he was, and they cut him. So they let him go, and he goes to Indianapolis, the division rival. And so what happens now, they've got a Pro Bowl guy, even though he's not that great, in Lamar Miller. He went to the Pro Bowl last year. And so he trades for Duke Johnson, who's making $5.2 million a year. He gives up what's going to eventually be a third-round pick because Duke Johnson has never missed a game in the National Football League. And so you get a third-round pick. I mean, that's giving away a starter for a backup.
Professor, what's the top storyline for the Broncos coming into this game?
It's a lock that Drew Lock's probably not going to play well. I think that's the main one because, I mean, I saw him last week, and it was pathetic watching, you know, him and Matt Schaub. I mean, and what's really clear, and even though you're going to see a lot of him, that, you know, they're going to play Joe Flacco maybe two series, you know, one series with Kevin Hogan, and then turn it over to Drew Locke. But coming out of the offense that he had in college, it's not translating into the NFL to a point where Vic Fangio said that, you know, he's not a pitcher, he's more of a thrower. And then when he had the bad game in the Hall of Fame game, he says, yeah, well, he didn't live up to the standards that we want, but are we surprised?
It's so strange that John Elway can't find a quarterback. And we'll see how Joe Flacco does. But, I mean, obviously Peyton Manning. But how long, you know, I'm going to make sure he's not, like, coming by to see me in the booth.
No, actually, I'm supposed to see him at 4:45 coming off the bus.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm just curious, like, how much leeway. Is he a hot seat guy
at
all?
No, because, again, it's like you can say what you want about the problems at quarterback and the bad choice for Vance Joseph as a head coach. He went to two Super Bowls, right?
Yeah.
Won a Super Bowl. And, again, if you look at it, I mean, if you would pick the Denver Broncos teams that he put together, you know, they would be the third, you know, the third group of guys from the decade, you know, because Seattle would have the best, New England would have all the ones next, and then Denver would be third.
The one thing I'd say, though, about Elway is while they haven't found the quarterback, they also haven't paid the wrong quarterback. They've taken, and it's in some ways, I think, reminiscent of Seattle's approach when they were looking for a successor to Matt Hasselbeck, and which they take some swings and misses. Like, Seattle signed Charlie Whitehurst, which was a miss. Not only the money they gave him, but the draft pick that they gave up to get him. I think they traded a third and swapped spots in the second with the Chargers to acquire him. They signed Tavares Jackson. They paid Matt Flynn a decent amount of money to come in as a free agent, but they didn't make that one over-the-top acquisition, such as trading for Kevin Cobb or trading somewhere where they pushed all their chips into the middle. Yeah, those sort of things. And with Denver, they didn't pay Osweiler. They let him leave to the Texans as a free agent, and that turned out to be the right decision. It certainly didn't work out, the draft pick of Paxton Lynch, and that's a first-round pick, so that's some significant investment you made there, but at the same time, it wasn't a top 10 choice that they made with him there. I think they keep taking reasonable swings, and if they eventually connect, then it's going to look like, oh, at least they didn't make the one over the top. When you lose your job is when you draft a quarterback in the top five and it doesn't work out, or you sign a quarterback to a Kirk Cousins-like deal and it doesn't work out. That's when you get canned.
Yeah, you do. But again, that's what you have to do, because if you're going to be a playoff type team and you're going to be drafting in the high, well, you know, 21 to 32, I mean, your chances aren't very good. And so you have to just keep doing what Seattle did, is roll one, roll two, roll three, roll four, till you finally find that right quarterback and they hit it with Russell Wilson, then everything goes right.
John, you think that the Seahawks are going to follow the way of, like, the Rams last year, where they're going to not play guys like Bobby and KJ and Russell in the preseason at all?
No, they'll play him. I mean, it just may not be as much as they have in the past. I mean, you know, I don't know about Bobby Wagner playing, because, again, with that knee, you know, getting the PRP, then it's like they probably may scratch on that. I think they'll be very cautious about KJ Wright, you know, because he's had to do the same thing. And Russell, I mean, they'll probably, you know, give him a little bit, maybe a half and a quarter next week, and then a half after that, and that'll be it. So you mainly see, you know, three quarters of him, maybe four quarters.
Hey, John, you hear that song they're playing right now? I Want to Dance with Somebody, Whitney Houston.
Yeah, yeah.
You hear that?
Yeah.
Did you know? And I know you like dropping names from your high school days.
Yeah.
George Merrill was a class of 74, Redmond High School. I went to school with him there. He wrote that song, John. I Want to Dance with Somebody. What do you think?
I like it.
Yeah, you like
Good
that
job.
One? Yeah.
I like it.
Thank you. We're having our 45-year reunion next month, Professor.
Oh, that'll be
Redmond High School?
Yeah, we're having a 45-year reunion.
Go Mustangs.
Will David be there?
J.J. Mahoney's. George will not be there. I heard from him the other day. But, he used to be part of Boy Meets Girl, too. You remember them at all, John?
I do, yeah.
Yeah,
sure
you do?
Do?
Okay. All right, one more thing I have for you, Professor, that's more football-related. There are 10 other games today. What will you be looking for?
Arizona. I want to take a look at the first look at the the air raid offense and how it's going to work. And you know, obviously they're not going to tip off a lot, but I just want to see what Kyler Murray looks like. I want to see what the four receiver sets look like. I mean, that's the one I think that captures my eyes. Also, the second one would be what Lamar Jackson starts off at in Baltimore, because they're just going to go to a complete run type offense. And so I just want to see those two.
How do you think that's going to work out in Baltimore, John?
I'm not optimistic. They say Lamar is more accurate. I got to see it first.
All right. Professor, we always appreciate it. We'll be listening for you from the sidelines tonight. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
Missed any of the cold hard facts brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Washington's most refreshing beer. You can download the podcast 710 Sports. Our preview and look ahead to the game. Well, what are they going to do for a pass rush? We'll tell you next.
This is Danny, Dave, and Moore
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere.
Everywhere
at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Got a first-round pick at running back. Who's going to get some opportunities tonight? That's Rashad Penny. Jerron Brown not going to be on the field, but that means that plenty more opportunities for David Moore. A new defense, some rookies that'll be out there. Dave, there's a lot to look at tonight.
There really is, and I think mostly from the young guys. And since Pete's been here, do you guys remember being more intrigued by a preseason? Because I haven't. And, you know, it's funny. I don't care to see Bobby Wagner. Don't need it. Don't need to see him. Don't need to see Russell either. I just want to see that, you know, what are these young guys going to do? And particularly the last two drafts, and I was just counting up the number, I think, that are going to be playing tonight. But there's 19 or 20 draft choices. And that's not even counting a guy like Puna Ford who's not going to play, which I thought that was the biggest news. Him and Jerron Brown, those two guys not playing indicates that they're pretty well set with them. So, you know, hearing lots of things about Jerron Brown, I don't think you see it out there at practice. You don't see all the spectacular catches and everything with DK Metcalf. But the coaches love him, and they love what he's done. So, guy who only had 14 catches, every third catch was a touchdown, but they only threw to him 19 times. It seems like he's going to be the guy that is the number two receiver.
Yeah, that's interesting to me, Dave. Ford, you know, is going to make the team. Brown going into it, Danny's been saying that he thinks either Brown or Moore are going to make it or is going to make it, and so that's a good sign for Jerron Brown. I'm not exactly sure if he's worthy of that, but I guess they feel that way from what they've been seeing in training camp, and so it opens it up for more receivers that we get to watch tonight.
I think what we see, the fact that Jerron Brown isn't playing tonight, I think that speaks to the value that his experience holds, because they're going to miss Doug Baldwin, and I think that probably all of us, the tempting thing is to say, I don't know if we might be understating how important Doug Baldwin. No, I think we all know how important he is. Like, we all have watched and seen what an important player he's been, especially on third downs. Jerron Brown's a pro, and all of the other guys that they have competing in that spot have some questions. For David Moore, he's great. He's absolutely great on, I'm going to sound like the quarterback now, like I'm trying to audition for the Jake Heaps, Brock Heward. He's great on go balls. He could absolutely on the go ball is fantastic, but the other routes, kind of being a complete receiver, that's a question. And then you're looking at young guys, John Ursua, Gary Jennings, both rookies. DK Metcalf's a guy that's got a great build, but if anything, he's kind of from that. They expect him to be, you would think, given his speed and his size, that his best opportunity is also going to be going deep. I think Jerron Brown is someone that ran and is able to. He is a complete receiver. He is someone that you can rely upon. And last year's productivity or lack thereof was about opportunities and not about ability.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. Looking at his career there at Arizona, I don't think he was a second leading receiver in Arizona. He had three seasons where he caught 11 balls and one season where he caught 20 some. So, but clearly the Seahawks are seeing something there. Does this make you feel like? And David Moore, they want to see more from him as a returner tonight. Does this make you feel like maybe Moore might be the odd guy out?
It does for me.
You know, I'll tell you what, let me ask you guys this question. You know, the two voids that need to be filled, the sacks, 23 sacks or whatever. Hey, could you guys hear that at all?
Yeah, and actually, I just wanted to say this. What I wanted to imagine is how you balancing being annoyed by the sound of it with the proper amount.
I just told Rabel that the older I get, the more annoyed I get by loud loud noises. What do you predict the dude looked like?
I think he was weighing three bills.
Is he more offensive line or is he more of a receiver?
O-line.
Oh yeah, he's an O-lineman. There's no question. He looks like an out of shape Puna Ford. I would say.
But he can belt it out though.
Vocals are good. I'll ask you guys this. So the two voids, you know, rush, pass rush and catches. Who has a resume? Because really, and that's – Pete was asked about the – well, I guess I asked him yesterday about who he thought would be the guy that ended up with the most sacks at the end of the year. And he said Ziggy Ansah. So, yeah, Ziggy Ansah has 48 sacks in his career. Tyler Lockett, as a receiver, has, you know, his resume, more all-purpose yards than anyone since 2015, all of that. But yeah, Jerron Brown, I'm not sure if you would say that he has a resume. He's got like 14 touchdowns, 1,300 yards. But, you know, I would say, yeah, sort of. You know, and as far as pass rushers go, Cassius Marsh has, what, 11 and a half sacks. And, you know, he had 5.5 last year. So maybe he has a resume. But other than that, really, nobody in those two positions, and you could say it's competitive. Yeah, there's lots of guys out there, but really, you're really counting on guys like, you know, David Moore and Jacob Martin and Rasheem Green to really come on and fill that void.
You know, Dave, I haven't heard much about Amara Darbo in training camp. Do you think we'll see him tonight, or is he out?
Man. You know, I don't know. He's another guy that's kind of frustrating to me, kind of like C.J. Procise. Every time that I watched him in camp and noticed him, there was either a drop or he just, you know, wasn't anywhere near the ball. So, and I don't know if that is indicative of how well he's played. But, you know, he's another guy that I feel like they expect him to make plays, and he just hasn't sort of jumped up and grabbed the opportunity by the throat, like the way they want to see it. So that's, he's another guy I guess I've kind of counted out.
You remember the movie? Well, I don't know if you've seen this, Jim, which is really too bad because I think it's the perfect movie for you. Office Space?
Have not.
There is a fella in the movie. His name's Milton. Milton really loves his red stapler. And Milton, when the consultants come to start downsizing and determining what everybody does, they determined that Milton had been laid off several years previously. However, no one had informed him of this. And that
he was to avoid confrontation.
And he was kept on the payroll because of a glitch.
Are we comparing him to Amara Darbo?
I'll get there in a second. He was only there because of a glitch. And so Milton was no longer with the company. And what they said, so you're letting him go. And they said, we fixed the glitch. Amara Darbo is on this team only because last year when they released him and he was claimed by the Patriots then did not clear him according to his physical. So he essentially reverted to Seattle because he had been waived and was deemed then to be injured. So he's on there. They've already made the decision to let him go once. And if he were to get them to reverse the glitch, he would have to knock them over with his performance and his ability. And if anything, what I've seen so far this training camp is more a continuation of what we saw before. He's been more available, but there haven't been any plays that he's been. So I anticipate that when the 53-man cut-down date comes, that the glitch will be fixed. And
Danny, that they're going to move his locker down into the basement?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
They're going to take away his swing line stapler. Where's my stapler?
Swing line, yeah.
Either that or he'll be assigned to the equipment room, and he'll be out there with Turf the dog as they take care of the fields. Like, he'll have a new assignment. It's mean to say, but I do think that they've already made that decision. They were willing to move on from him a year ago. And for him to sort of reclaim a spot or make himself part of the plans, he's got to knock him over. And I feel the exact same way about C.J. Procise, is that for him to be part of this team moving forward, he would have to make it impossible for them to let him go with the preseason that he's had, just given that he's had a couple opportunities before and hasn't done enough to earn their attention or make them want to keep him.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. His problem hasn't been a lot of injuries, right, Amara Darbo?
It's been some. He's been banged up some, but it's not been. It's
but not
been,
like CJ.
Yeah, it's been largely soft tissue injuries.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the frustration with him is that, like, okay, like I said, go grab this opportunity by the throat. You gotta be aggressive and be not arrogant, but, you know, you've got to go out there with a certain amount of cockiness that, you know, I'm going to own this. And he hasn't really done it. I don't think he's got that, like, killer instinct. So that's the thing I would say that they're most frustrated with there, whereas C.J. Procise has just been, you know, just one injury after another.
It is Danny, Dave Moore. This is the Happy Hour. It's brought to you by Heritage Distilling, makers of BSB. That's brown sugar bourbon. We're going to sweep the dial next and then turn it over to the pregame show. It's all ahead.
Sweeping.
The Dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app at 710sports.com.
So I say I was playing like a big receiver at whatever school. I would look up his Instagram, maybe see his girlfriend, whatever, boom, boom, and I'd probably go slide in the DMs.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
And before the game?
Before the game,
yo,
yeah.
I love that, dude.
Before
that's
the
amazing.
Game, I'll probably slide in the DMs.
That's Jalen Ramsey. He is the latest incarnation of what I would call the cocky corner. We've seen these acts before. I'd like to hear one actual example in which he did this, because this sounds like something people say. Rather than something that actually happens.
You don't think people go sliding into the DMs, Danny?
I do think that happens. I'm just...
Can somebody explain to me what that means?
Direct
DM
message.
DM stands for direct message. And
anybody but Jim. Sorry.
No, I nailed that one.
On Instagram and some other social medias alike, it is possible to message anyone, regardless of whether or not they follow you.
So, I'm sorry, was he trying to steal somebody's girlfriend?
He was getting in the heads.
Like, what kind of stuff do you think he's saying to the? Like,
I don't think we can say that on the air.
Leave the girlfriends alone.
Or it'd be kind of like, hey, like, what did Clubber Lang say to Rocky's wife? Where he's like, every night you dream what it's like to go to bed with a real man. You should come over to my house. I'll show you what a real man is. Drop the zero, get with the hero.
Yeah, maybe it's something like that.
You think that would be?
Wouldn't stuff like that motivate the opponent to play harder?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I sure like Danny O'Neill as Clubber Lang.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it?
I do recall J.R. Reed. Do you guys remember him? He was one of the highest profile high school basketball recruits
Carolina.
Ever. North Carolina. I want to say it's North Carolina State, though it might be Maryland. He matched up against a guy who was either, I believe, whose former girlfriend J.R. Reed was then with, or there had been a shared romantic connection in the past. And J.R. Reed spent the entire game talking to the guy about specifics about the said lady friend and just ruined the other guy, where he just lost all concentration.
That's cold.
I've never had an issue. Like, I've always liked to meet somebody I'm with their any former relationships they've had, because I crush their pride. Like, they look at me and are like, oh, man, now she's messing with this guy? I'm like, that's right. You're not as awesome as you thought. Me and you are at the same level.
Center obviously adds an element to it. What do you hope to get out of this with Garrett getting his first snaps?
Well, I'm going to take it back to how much he sweats again. He promises that it's not a problem in games, and it remains to be seen, because his shorts today were soaked. And he said it's not a problem on game day, so the moment of truth Friday night. But apparently, you know, when they keep those domes air conditioned and you get a break on the bench and you sit with the cooling fans, I'm hoping that really helps.
Dave? Quarterback talking about the sweaty tuchus of his center.
That's nasty. Who's the quarterback there?
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, that is really gross. I remember John Elway complaining about a guy named Dave Wydell and how, you know, he told him to wear extra undergarments because of the excessive sweat. And he just had his practice pants on and a jock strap. You know, this is gross, man. But, you know, it was just like Elway's hands would get slippery because of all the sweat. And so, you know, can you imagine if that was Bob Stelton? Bob Stelton would have like a little hand cleaner dispenser that he would have to wash after every single play.
Well, this seems like something. I know we're joking about it, but like, you can't have that happen, can you? I mean, that you got to go to shotgun every time that guy's in there.
Either that, or just apply liberal amounts of baby powder before the game. I mean, there's products that can be taken to solve some of the sweatiness problems.
Kirk Cousins said that. Dave, listen to this. Kirk Cousins maybe already saw this. Kirk Cousins said that this guy's shins, are pouring like my window after a rainstorm. Is what Kirk Cousins said.
His shins.
Yeah, I mean,
he looks down
at his legs because they're bare, and he sees the sweat just dripping off of his legs.
That's a lot of sweat, man.
Talc. Use some talc.
I don't think that's going to help.
No. Really? No,
it's
absorbent.
Yeah, it's going to be like clumpy flour at the end. You know, when you try to stir flour into water or whatever, when you're making like pancakes or whatever, that's what it's going to look like. It's not stopping the sweat.
Trevor Heifield, who was an offensive lineman and a very good one at the University of Washington, moved from guard to center. And I remember asking him about the biggest
adjustment. He was like, well, finding out that the quarterback's hands go, well, where they go. He said that the first time Heward lined up, Damon Heward lined up behind him, because I almost got up and punched him.
Don't you feel... You hands down those nether region areas. Remember, Jim, you asked Patrick Lewis that question.
Was it like to have
the quarterback? I'm not sure how you put it. But
very tactfully, I'm sure.
I forget, too.
Daddy, why am I on the black team, Daddy?
I am on the black team. Daddy just got to wait to practice. You ready to see me work or what?
Why am I running today?
Daddy's still sore.
Where's
Roethlisberger? Huh?
Where's Roethlisberger?
He played with the Steelers.
Where's Roethlisberger?
I like that part. Little kids. They're cute kids.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, that was really fun to listen to, that part. And we talked a little bit about this earlier, but the Hard Knocks episode saw just a little bit of Luke admonishing a rookie for going too hard in non-padded practices.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, his son will figure it out here pretty soon. He's probably going to wonder why Daddy isn't on the field, and Daddy will have to tell him it's because of my frostbitten feet.
That is such a weird story. And the idea that having cryotherapy, you end up injuring yourself to the point where you compromise. Like, look, if he actually suffered frostbite on his feet, this might not be something that just goes away in a week. Or 2 weeks.
Well, plus he's 31 years old, so he's probably on the downside of his career now.
The idea, too. Wouldn't you think you'd be extra sure about, like, I'm going to put myself in negative 200 degree temperatures? Like, yeah, we'll just get in there. This has worked before. Wouldn't you be extra careful?
I think so, for sure.
I've lost so much money on the line, and I still don't. Now, wait, I think I asked this question. I don't remember the answer. Didn't the person who was doing the therapy, did they not pay attention? Or
who knows? Who knows what happened? We appreciate you guys listening. It was great to have the professor on. Jessamine McIntyre is our producer. Curtis Rogers was on the board for the three of us. Enjoy Seahawks football. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 on Danny, Dave, and Moore.